기억 지금. שעדף כל חייו, נכון, לפחות על עצמי ונשיון וניף טיון פריידי he didn't have a life to himself, his whole life was dedicated to other people. The chief rabbi said about him Rabbi Goldstein, the chief rabbi said about him today that he fulfilled that which it says in Mesillas Yesharim. The Mesillas Yesharim speaks about being an Eved Hashem means to be a soldier. That you're always looking for the next mission. You're always looking at how to overcome the challenge that stands before you and do the sake of the will, Hashem's will. But at the same time, it's never a burden. It's never something which is heavy, a burden in the will of Hashem. On one hand, you're totally devoted to do the will of Hashem. Never worry about your own tiredness or your own money or anything. At the same time, however much effort you put in, at the same time you're always feeling that it's a blessing and an opportunity that you have to do that. He never took money for anything that he did. He came to Cape Town in order to be mezakeh the rabbi. He would do bris milah and he wouldn't take any money. He said that it wouldn't be worthwhile if one person wouldn't have a bris milah because maybe they would think that it's for the sake of money and they would go to a doctor instead and do it not only with the hilchasa, so he did bris milah without taking money. He was extremely underpaid as a shochet because he didn't want the price of meat to go up and then people chas v'shalom would buy non-kosher meat because people who are on the borderline between eating non-kosher and non-kosher who wanted kosher meat to be cheaper so that they would have an incentive to buy kosher meat. He would fix Sifrei Torah and people's mezuzahs. And he did it Hashem Shammai without taking any money for that. With Sheikh Shatnas, he didn't take any money for that. Everything he did, he did Hashem Shammai. So, say words of Torah in the Shammai. And may he be zocha to a kura, a karov, because right now it's being delayed. We're on the third part of Tahar Libeinu. Last week, about trying to avoid ahead of time the challenge, the attack of the Yetzer Hara. And today we're speaking about what happens when the Yetzer Hara has already attacked and you find yourself presented with the challenge. And in order to have the tools, the tactics to be able to hold back, you have to know how the Yetzer Hara works. When you know how the Yetzer Hara works, then you have much more of a tool to be able to hold back against it. Because one of the tools the Yetzer Hara likes to use is to be ambiguous. If you don't know exactly who he is, if you don't know the way that he's working, like by Yaakov Avinu when he asked the Yetzer Hara, what are you, what's your name? He said, Lama zeti shalit shmi. He said specifically, that Chazal said that was his name. His name, the name of the Yetzer Hara is Lama zeti shalit shmi. Why are you asking? I don't want to be revealed. I don't want to be obvious. So we have to understand how the Yetzer Hara works, because if we leave the Yetzer Hara in an ambiguous mode, then we won't be able to identify him. And in order to defeat the Yetzer Hara, first we have to identify him. Once you're able to reveal that it is the Yetzer Hara, then you have a chance. And then, after you've revealed that it's the Yetzer Hara, so it's important not to attack him straight on, but rather to bypass him. And then, the third thing we're going to speak about today is the ability to hold strong. The belief that you can hold strong, and the determination to hold strong. So the first stage is just to understand the purpose of the Yetzer Hara. The Pasuk says, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavacha. And Rashi points out that levavacha, two bases, instead of one base, like it normally says, libecha. And Chazal say, why does it say two bases? Because the first base is the Yetzer, with Yishnei Yetzerecha. You have to serve a Baruch Hu, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. And the Shita Mekubetz says in the end of Maseches Brachos, says, I know what the working of the Yetzer Tov is. The avodah of the Yetzer Tov is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your koach, to do the will of Hashem. When you have an inclination to do good and you follow the inclination to do good, you always look for opportunities to do mitzvahs. What does it mean to serve with the Yetzer Hara? What does it mean to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Yetzer Hara? How do you serve him? He's pushing you to do bad in the world. So Shita Mekubetz says, from Brachos and the Shita Mekubetz says, Avodas Hayetzer Hara Hu Sheyichbosh Yitzro Mitkaber Alav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically sent you a mission in the world to overcome the Yetzer Hara. He sent you a lot of good that you can do, and you recognize that it's good. But every person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also sends a challenge of overcoming bad. That's part of our avod. A person should never think that we came to this world for an easy life where it's all easy and it's obvious. Every person in this world was given a challenge of good and a challenge of bad. The challenge of good is where you see our special kochos, where you can channel all the special energies that Hashem gave you and use them to good. And the challenge of bad is that every person also has a unique Yetzer Hara, an area which is specifically for them a challenge, it's for them, it's an obligation to overcome. Mashal Mahad Avadome. There was once a king who said to his son, I need you to do a mission on my behalf. I need you to take this package and walk straight on the road all the way until you get to the next town and deliver this package to someone in the next town, to the king of the next town, to the leader of the next town. And I'm only giving you one instruction, that you walk straight and you never leave the path. You never leave the path of the road. Just stay on the path the whole time. And then the king, his whole mission really is not to send that package to the other place, but rather he wants to test the prince. And the main quality that he wants to see if the prince has is if the prince has the ability to hold strong against outside forces. Because if a king is going to be someone who any force that's going to come his way, this party, this influence, that influence, he's always going to follow any influences, then he's not going to remain strong. He's just going to be chasing behind the people to get votes and not be looking to do what's honest and what's true, what's right. So the test that the king wanted to give his son was he willing to stay on the path? To follow the path all the way, to follow the instruction. So the king sent one of his messengers all the way along the path to tempt and to try and seduce the prince to walk off the path. But not only did he try and do that, but the king even prepped him ahead of time and told the messenger exactly what his son liked. And he told him exactly which type of popcorn he liked and which type of chocolate he liked and which type of devices that he liked, which are the latest models that just came out. And every time along the path, as the prince was walking, suddenly it would be free just today, and first one who comes is a special opportunity. If you come just now, it's going to be given just to you, and it's a unique opportunity. And I'm not asking you to buy anything, I'm just asking you to come and look what it is, and it's a special opportunity. Anyone who comes now, and exactly the things, and each time the prince feels like he's almost about to go off, and he's almost about to be tempted away, and he holds back, and he remembers his father's words, stay on the straight path, stay on the straight path. And each time this messenger comes, and he gets more and more vicious each time. And at one point he says, you have to do it, I've told you to do this, you can't turn away now, using the superiority, authority tone, that you have to listen, otherwise you're going to be in trouble. And the prince just walks past him, pushes him aside, and carries on walking. And after a very challenging path that he walks from town that he lived in to the next town, being tempted the whole way, specifically in the area that's hardest for him, because the king had prepped his messenger to know exactly what was the hardest challenge for this prince, he gets to the other end. And when he gets to the other end, he sees there two things that he doesn't know how to make any sense of him. One is he sees his father, and one is he sees this evil messenger who was sent along the way to trip him up the whole way. And he says, Abba, be careful of that man. He's an evil man. He's a dangerous man. He was trying to trip me up the whole way along the path. And Abba, what are you doing here? You sent me on a mission. You're already here. Then why are you sending me with a packet? And his Abba says to him, don't you realize this man is not an evil man? This man is the reason why you're going to be the king. Only in his merit are you going to be Zoche to be the king. Because I sent him to test you. And because you were able to overcome the test, you now are worthy of being the king. And that's what's going to happen to us in this world as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends every person a unique Yetzer Hara. That Yetzer Hara is not a mistake, it's not a trip up that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Rather, it's a unique Yetzer Hara sent to every individual in order to enable them to fulfill their mission as a Jew. Everyone has a good side, which are their unique strengths that they were given, and they also have a unique Yetzer Hara they were also given. And the goal is, like the Shita Mekubetza says, is to overcome specifically that. If you don't realize that, then the Yetzer Hara has many tricks to seduce you, to tempt you, and to speak to you in an authoritative tone, and to always try and be elusive and not tell you his name, that you're not aware that it's the Yetzer Hara. But once you're aware that that is the mission, we're not making any mistakes, we're not hiding anything, we're being very open here, because the Baruch Hu told us ahead of time. It's not like this prince who didn't even know that that was the trick. We know it's the trick. For us, it shouldn't even be a challenge. We know that wherever we're tested with a sense of a Yetzer Hara, where a sense of desire comes our way to do something inappropriate, we know that sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically in order to give us the chance to overcome it. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mission for us in this world is to show how loyal and devoted we are to Him, to prove our devotion to Him. We know that when there's a specific unique Yetzirah which faces the hardest challenge and it comes at the hardest time, we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu giving us the opportunity to be as close to Him as possible by taking it up. When we go up to Shemayim after 120 years, we'll see the Yetzirah there with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we'll say, Hashem, be careful, that was my Yetzirah, and throughout my life He was trying to trip me up and He was evil. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu will put His arm around the Yetzirah and He'll invite you in and He'll say, don't you realize this is your best friend? Only in His merit were you able to get here. Only in His merit you overcame Him at every step. And you had the koach to overcome the Yetzirah because you realized that He was the Yetzirah and you listened faithfully and devotedly to my word. That's what enabled you to remain loyal and devoted. If it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't be here. And you realize that the Yetzirah is actually Tov Me'od. He's Tov Me'od because although in this world He's a challenge to you, that He's what enables you to be Tov Me'od in the next world. So the first stage is to pull off the mask of the Yetzirah. And whenever the Yetzirah comes to you and says, maybe you should do it, maybe it's good for you, maybe you're tired, maybe you need it, maybe it will build you, maybe all sorts of terutzim, you have to pull off His mask and say, there is no room for doubt. This is absolutely forbidden. You should train yourself to say that phrase again and again and again. There is no room for doubt. This is absolutely forbidden. And when the Yetzirah says, yes, but you need it, you had a hard day, there is no room for doubt. This is absolutely forbidden. Maybe it was forbidden before, you know, in the olden days, but nowadays it's a modern time and there's all different things. There is no room for doubt. This is absolutely forbidden. And as you repeat that phrase to yourself again and again, the Yetzirah cannot remain obscure. You've uncovered him, and then he has to run away. He drops the subject. Just like if there's darkness in a room and you turn on the light, then the darkness runs away. Once you make clarity of the matter and you know that he was sent with a purpose. In fact, you could even say to him, with a kind of a smile in your eye, you can say to him, you do your job and I'll do mine. You were sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try and trip me up, and I was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to listen to you. I'm very happy that you're doing the will of Hashem. I'm going to emulate you and I'll also do the will of Hashem. Your job was to try and trip me up. My job was not to listen to you. So you do your job and I'll do mine. You do your job of trying to trip me up and I'll do my job of not listening a word to you. Have these phrases in your mind. There is no room for doubt. This is absolutely forbidden. That's one phrase to have in mind. Second phrase to have in mind. You do your job and I'll do mine. The first step in overcoming the Yetzirah is to identify him. Once you're able to identify that he's the Yetzirah, he has no more power over you. He only has power over you when you're not sure what he is and he has claims and timers. The moment you realize what he's doing and that's his will and that you have a will and you have a purpose and this is your mission, you're able to overcome him because you recognize him and he runs away when you shine the light on him. First thing you do is reveal him. The second thing you do, the second line of defense, is this sidestepping. We see by Yaakov Avinu and Esav, that when Esav said he wants to accompany Yaakov, then Yaakov didn't say to him no. Yaakov said to him, let's carry on, we'll travel, we'll see what happens in the end. Vayomer nisav v'nilcha ilcha l'negzecha. Esav says, come, we'll travel together. The Yetzirah is saying to the tzaddik, I want to accompany you. He's giving him excuses. He's not saying no, he's just giving excuses. You go ahead, I'll go at my own pace. If it's hard for the kids, you go ahead. What's Yaakov doing? He's saying, I know that if I try and attack you head on, it'll be very difficult for me. If I say, I don't have a Yetzirah, he'll say, you do. And he'll try and trick me up. If I say, this is absolutely forbidden, then he may come and say to me, it's forbidden, but then you see someone else did it once, and you yourself did it last weekend. Sometimes if you try and track, attack the Yetzirah head on, then he says to you, you don't have the power to do that, you don't have the will, and he's very, very forceful. It makes him come back with a vengeance. So that time you have to follow our avos, to follow in the ways of Yaakov Avinu. And you don't say to the Yetzirah, I'm never listening to you, you're the evil, I'm never going to pay attention to you. But then he says to you, okay, maybe you're now, maybe you'll do it later. There's a phrase people say when they want to convince you to do something, they say, sooner or later. Meaning, sooner or later means you're definitely going to do it. The question is, are you going to do it sooner? Or are you going to do it later? But sooner or later, it's going to happen. The Yetzirah will say to you, sooner or later. And if you try and attack him sometimes too harshly, then he'll come back and he'll say to you, sooner or later. But if you don't say that, you just say, later. You use his trick. Like Yaakov Avin. You say, I'm not saying no, I'm not directly going against you. That's a ploy the Yetzirah himself uses. And there's a sweet revenge in you using it as well. Take his very own trick that he says to you, don't learn now, you can learn later. So you can say to him the same thing. I don't have to do this aveira right now, I can do it later. I clearly remember Rabbi Rivlin saying, when we were in Shana Aleph, he said, with kavod, I'll try and not use his accent, but it's so much better in his accent. He said, boys, what do you do if you know you went to a school beforehand and you had a friend and it wasn't a boy? And you know, you come to yeshiva and you're all set on staying focused in the yeshiva, but what can you do? Sometimes she wants to phone you and you want to phone her, so what do you do? So he said, the first thing you do is when that first thought comes to your mind, is you say to yourself, I don't have to do it right now, I can do it after Seder. And when Seder finishes, you can say, I don't have to do it right now, I can learn for another few minutes. And when you've learned for a few minutes, you can say, I don't have to do it now, I can talk to a friend. And what's the goal in doing that? He says, "Man of shach, you win. If you win and you're able to push it off and bypass it entirely, then matov. You're able to not attack the Eitz HaRa straight on ahead, and you can leave him hanging dry, and you can feel a little mischievous that you used this trick against him. Like he says to you, you don't have to learn now, you can learn later. And you say to him, I don't have to phone now, I can phone later. Matov. And even if you do eventually do it, it's still a win for you. You didn't immediately give in to him. You had an extra few minutes of learning Torah. You conquered an area. You were able to be kovesh. You were able to conquer a particular area which gives you strength. The second line of defense is sidestepping Ishmael. So the first thing we spoke about was identifying the Yetzer Hara is good. His whole goal, his whole purpose is to help you. But the way that you're supposed to respond to him is by overcoming him. And once you realize that, you can say to him, you do your job and I'll do mine. It's absolutely forbidden. I'm not allowing you to remain obscure. The second line of defense is not to attack the Yetzer Hara straight on, which is a different thing, the first thing I said. You have to use different ones at different times. You have to see what works. Ideally, you should try and attack him head on and say to him, so then this is absolutely forbidden, I'm not listening. If that doesn't work and you still feel Yetzer Hara, then you can say, okay, that didn't work, but I'll do my next line of defense. My second line of defense is, you have to do it right now. I can bypass it, I can do it a little later. And by saying that, it gives you strength, it gives you solid ground. There's a pasuk in Koheles, which is epitomizes this concept. Pasuk in Koheles, Perek Yud, Pasuk Dalet, Im Ruach HaMoshel Ta'ale Alecha, if the spirit of the conqueror overcomes you, Mekomcha Al Tanach, don't move from your place, Ki Marpeh Yaniach Chata'im Gedolim. The Yetzer Hara, he comes to you as if he's a Moshe. He comes to you with this appearance of being infinitely greater than you are. He comes to you as if he's an enormous tank and you're standing there without any weapons, without any armor. And he makes you feel that it's overwhelming. He makes you believe that it's a lost fight. He makes you believe there's no point in you even trying. And he says to you, just give up now. It's too overwhelming. You can't even say no. And he leads a person, Chas Hashem, to think, like, anyway, give up eventually, so why should I bother fighting? Here I am with my bare hand trying to hold back a whole troop of tanks. There's no hope for me. And that's the Ruach HaMoshel. The Ruach HaMoshel is the spirit of a conqueror that makes you feel overwhelmed. And that's the way of enemies. They try and let out information about how strong they are ahead of time to weaken the spirit of the enemy. And that way the enemy will just give up ahead of time, and the Yetzer Hara uses that trick. But if you're aware that it's all an illusion, it's all a shadow, it's all nothing, because the only energy or power that the Yetzer Hara has to begin with is empowered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have any power over you that you can't overcome. The Gemara Kedushin says you can, with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can overcome the Yetzer Hara. Meaning all that he's presenting, this overwhelming desire, is all an illusion. And if you're aware, and you have a belief that you can overcome him, that's point number one. You have a belief. You have to believe it. If you don't believe it, then you've lost already to begin with. The first point is you have to believe that you can overcome him. And once you have the belief, and then you also have the determination, I'm choosing good. I'm aligning myself with good. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me the power to overcome the bad, and I'm choosing to do good. So you have those two stages, the two-pronged attack. Number one, I believe that I have the power to overcome. Chazal and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell me that. And stage number two, and I'm devoted, I'm determined, I'm willing. Like the Pasuk says, Im Ruach Moshel Ta'aleh Alecha Mekomcha Al Tanach. Don't move from your place. Hold on strongly to your place. Then you will be able to overcome him. In Sefer Tanya, in Perek Kaf Zayin, he says that not only is this a good thing to do, is it valuable, but it's actually a mitzvah aseh doras. Tanya says the following. Im atzvut mihirurim ra'im v'ta'avot ra'ot noflim v'machshavto. The person gets upset with himself, sad, depressed, because of all the desires that he has and the negative thoughts that he has, He shouldn't be upset. Why not? Adarabba. Yesh lo lismoach b'chelko. He should rejoice in his portion. Now, you would never think that a holy sefer like Netanya would be saying to you that you should be rejoicing when you are having inappropriate thoughts. Sha'af shenoflot lo b'machshavto hu masiach lato mehem. Because here you have an opportunity. That when a negative thought comes to you, and you're able to say, Mekomcha al tanach, I'm not moving, I'm not budging, I'm not moving from this solid place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me of stability and service of Hashem. And I believe that I can overcome the Yetzirah, and I'm determined to overcome the Yetzirah. Says the Tanya, when you have that mindset, you can fulfill Mitzvah Aseh Doraisa, Lo tatzuru acharei levavachem ve'acharei nechem ma'ashertem zulim achareihem. The Pasuk is referring specifically to this. That when a Yetzirah thought comes to a person, and he doesn't follow it in his mind, he's fulfilling that. That's what the Mitzvah is referring to. Lo tatzuru acharei levavachem is when an inappropriate thought comes, and you don't allow it to overtake your mind. And he quotes Chazal that say, Yashav velo avar avera, notenim lo zachar ki'ilo asa mitzvah. If a person just sits still and doesn't do an avera, Hashem gives him reward as if he did a mitzvah. What's that referring to? What's it referring to when it says in Chazal that if you sit and you don't do an avera, if I'm just sitting and I don't do an avera, obviously we're talking about a case where you had the desire to do an avera. Meaning when you had the desire to do an avera, but you hold strong, mekomcha al tanach, you don't move, you get schar as if you did a mitzvah aseh. And therefore you should rejoice. Because when you do a mitzvah aseh, you know you're coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're doing the will of Hashem. And if doing a mitzvah aseh gives a person an active bond with Hashem. So when you sit still, when you're attacked by the Yetzirah, and you don't give in, mekomcha al tanach, you don't give in, then that's the avodat Hashem as if you did a mitzvah aseh. You're fulfilling the mitzvah lo tatzuru acharei levavachem. לכבוש היצר והרהור העולה מהלב למוח ולהשיח דתו לגמרי מהם לדחותו בשתי ידיים. You're able to push it away, and therefore you don't have to be upset, you don't have to be depressed, you don't have to feel bitter. Because even if you're in the battle, dafka because you're in the battle, that's what gives the opportunity to come close to Hashem. Meaning you might think to say that if you didn't have a Yetzer Hara thought to begin with, it would be better. But the same time you're saying, if the Yetzer Hara thought came to you, if it didn't come to you, then you didn't do any mitzvah. You're just sitting there stumped. That if a Yetzer Hara thought came to you and you were able to overcome it by distracting your thoughts, then push your thoughts to somewhere else, that's how you fulfilled a mitzvah as deraisa. Hashem sent you an opportunity. And the Maharal writes that that's a compliment for Am Yisrael. We're called an Am Kishe Oref. And some people understand that to be an insult, that we're stubborn in a negative way. But the Maharal writes that Am Kishe Oref is a compliment. Am Kishe Oref is saying that Am Yisrael was imbued in our national consciousness with the ability to be stubborn. Mekomcha al tanach, I'm not budging from here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you send me the Yetzirah, you send me the desires, but I know that's from you as a gift for me to overcome. I know that. And therefore, I also know that you gave me the ability to withstand. If you sent me the challenge, you also sent me the koach to overcome. If a person sent the challenge like they're sitting on Velus, however hard and however challenging it is, for someone else looking in from the outside, it might seem overwhelming. But for that person, together with the challenge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send them, Hashem will also send them the kochos to overcome it. Any challenge that Hashem ever sends you, He sends you the koch to overcome. So when Hashem sends a person, since Hashem will send you the challenge of a particular Yetzirah, of a particular strong desire, since that's your purpose in this world, to serve Him and to be tov me'od, since that's the purpose, the design, it enables you to fulfill your mission. You know that it's coming from Him, and once you know that the Yetzirah is coming from Him, it's not obscure anymore. It has a specific mission and a purpose, and you can say to Him, you do your job and I'll do mine. You can say to Him, this is absolutely forbidden, I'm not doing it, and I know that you're doing your job. And I'm even laughing at you, and I'll give you a wink, and I'll say to you, Shkoyach, you tried tripping up over there, but really I know that Hashem sent you to me just to give me the opportunity to do another mitzvah, to fulfill the mitzvah. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. I appreciate it. I'm not backing down. We'll pause then. Maybe I'll finish up this topic next time. May these words be an Eirui Neshama for Rabbi Tzvi Ben Yishayahu.